Welcome to Health Matters, the mental health edition. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Vegan, psychologist, along with my co-host, Ms. Shelley Visconti, counselor and marriage and family therapist. We welcome you. This evening, we're going to be talking about not only how to survive the holidays, but we also want to be talking about how to really enjoy the holidays. We invite our listeners, those of you who are listening now, our Red River Radio audience, to call in with your comments and your questions and your suggestions. Our number is 1-800-552-8502. This evening, we have two very special guests. They're both mental health professionals. Dr. Todd Lebrano is a recent graduate of the Louisiana Tech Counseling Psychology Program and sees many adults, both adults, adolescents, and children. And we have Ms. Laura Harris, who's formerly a school psychologist with a lot of experience with children, who's also a doctoral student at Louisiana Tech. So, Dr. Lebrano and Ms. Harris, we welcome both of you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. And again, we encourage our listeners to call in and challenge both of our guests. So be ready. Generally, we have 5 to 10 callers, and they are usually pretty sharp, and they ask a lot of good questions and make a lot of good comments. So I want both of you to be on your toes.
Great.
Shelley, you and I were talking about this, and we were preparing the program earlier, and we were talking about the religious and cultural significance and meaning of the Christmas season. Did you want to make a comment or two about that?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that December holds significance for a lot of different people, Buddhists, Christians, Jews, Muslims. You know, we have Kwanzaa, we have Hanukkah, we have the Christian Christmas. So, you know, there's a lot going on in the month of December for a lot of different people.
From different points of view and different perspectives.
Yes.
Yeah. I was asking you, too, you know, what is the historical and folklore origins of Christmas? Because I didn't really know where the whole idea of Santa Claus came in. I don't know. I didn't know where the idea of gift giving came in. Did you do some studying and thinking about those issues?
Yeah, and it's actually interesting. I did not know this, but St. Nicholas was actually a 3rd century Greek monk. And he was really admired for his piety and kindness, and really became especially revered during the Renaissance. So he became a really popular saint, especially in Europe during the Renaissance. And then you start seeing Santa Claus as kind of more we know it during the 18th century. And in fact, I thought this was really interesting. In 1820, you started seeing stores advertising Christmas sales and things like that. And they actually started having what we see today, you know, the actual circulars. And, you know, there was a specific section even for Christmas sales. So that began about in the 1820s. And then about 1822 or so is really when the modern day Santa Claus came to be. There was an Episcopal minister who wrote a poem for his daughters and really introduced Santa as we know it, the jolly old soul. So that's kind of where Santa Claus has come from and kind of how Christmas, not just Christmas, but more of the secular Santa Claus type of things have developed through the years.
Very, very interesting. I was reading a little bit about Hanukkah, and I was asking one of my Jewish friends about that, and he was telling me about it had to begin in the years when the Maccabean Wars were occurring, and I think that's before the time of Jesus. And it had to do with not having enough oil, and somehow the oil...
It was a day's worth?
Yeah.
It lasted for a week?
I think it was a day's worth,
yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
It lasted 7 or 8 days, and that's where the 8 Hanukkah candles come from. And it was considered kind of a miracle back then.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. It was during the Maccabean Wars against Syrians or someplace? I just don't know enough about it. Do you know any more than that?
No, I don't want to misspeak.
Okay. Well, again, we invite our listeners to call in and join us for this conversation. We're going to talk about some do's and don'ts. And again, I want to emphasize not how we survive the holidays, but how we can enhance and enjoy and really make them a time of rejuvenation and so on. Laura, I was going to ask you, Ms. Harris, rather, Laura Harris, Do you have some ideas about kind of things to avoid or things to not do? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, kind of some do's and don'ts. First of all, even though it really may feel like it, people usually do not set out to drive us crazy intentionally. So if we try not to personalize that and realize that they're doing the best that they can, just as we are doing the best that we can. So trying to put ourselves in someone else's shoes and just don't judge. And also not micromanaging. We tend to make a big deal out of whatever our celebration is going to be. And we're trying to do the best that we can, but we get caught up in the micromanaging of it.
What do you mean by personalizing?
Well, just when someone does something that we don't like or that hurts our feelings, we tend to take that personally, and usually it has nothing to do with us. And if we can stop for a moment and think, maybe there's something going on with that person. Maybe they're stressing over trying to prepare a huge holiday dinner. And so just don't take things personally.
Well, personalizing then or not personalizing, I think is kind of a, you would say it's sort of a rule of mental health. It doesn't have anything really specific to do with the Christmas holidays.
Absolutely.
You'd agree?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
And micromanaging and judging. Say a little bit more about the benefits of not judging.
I would say that when we place a judgment on a situation, and oftentimes when we're upset and stressed out, it's a negative judgment. And if we could just observe when something is happening and maybe say, this person did something that I didn't like, or they just did this thing, rather than placing a negative judgment on it, we don't tend to become as upset about that.
So maybe not putting our own interpretation,
right.
Just kind of taking what comes to you and not necessarily reading anything into it.
Right.
Okay.
I always think about that in terms of, I don't know whether it's right, I don't know whether it's wrong. I don't know whether it's good, I don't know whether it's bad. It just is what it is, and accepting right. What it is without attaching, I don't know whether it's right or wrong. Do you have any thoughts about that, Dr. Loprano? I've never seen you just shake your shake your head and have nothing to say. This is a great moment.
I was thinking about how very zen that belief was that you just had, that's very appropriate for right now, this time of year, that you should, and it's a good idea to just not attach personal feelings to things that happen during the holidays, that you should just let things be. Somebody didn't cut you off in traffic because they saw you at the store and they just had it out for you.
So when you get cut off at traffic, it doesn't really have anything to do with you. It has something to do with whatever that driver is going and whatever's in their mind. It isn't about you at all.
Shouldn't attach meanings like that to these types of
well, these don'ts that the two of you are talking about here don't really they don't really pertain to Christmas that much. They're just general rules then.
Right.
Okay. Are there some do's that you want to kind of highlight for the Christmas season?
I think one of the really important things is to be flexible. I think sometimes we can get locked into the way something is supposed to be, the way it always has been, especially when we have a tradition that we're trying to follow. And it really upsets us when something gets in our way. So if we can take things as they come and really remember that this is an event, this is a time of year that we're wanting to enjoy.
Anything to add, Dr. LeBron?
No, I think she said it very well.
Okay. What about the idea of expectations around Christmas? One of the thoughts that I've always had about holidays is, when families come together, like to celebrate the holidays together, there's sort of a psychological regression to how we used to see each other. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's sort of like if we haven't been together in a year or if it's been 2 years and we haven't been together, there's sort of a regression back to the way things were when we were a family and when there were parents there, and whether we're parents or whether we're the children of those parents, there's a regression back to kind of old roles, old stereotyping, thinking, and so on. And yet 2 or 3 years have passed and we're now different people. Do you all relate to what I'm trying to talk about here?
Oh, absolutely. I think what you're referring to are what we kind of think of as traditions, holiday traditions. Mm-hmm. you know, if you grow up in a large family and you place a lot of importance on holidays, as you grow older, kids move away, you may start to feel a little sad around this time of year because you're not achieving those things that you used, those traditions that you used to enjoy. So I think it's important to, you know, set realistic expectations and not overextend yourself.
Oh, very interesting. Well, Shelley, I think we have a call.
We actually have a rabbi that is going to enlighten us some on Hanukkah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Go right ahead.
This is Rabbi Harley Kars Wagman. I'm from Alexandria.
Thank you.
Rabbi, say your last name again and spell it for me.
It's spelled Kars Wagman, which is why I go by Rabbi Harley, because Kars Wagman is about as complicated as the story of why you end up lighting eight nights candles on Hanukkah.
How off was I in my explanation?
Not bad. The army that tried to conquer Judea, it was about two centuries before the time of Jesus, were the Syrian part of the Greek Empire. So it was the Greek culture trying to impose itself on the Jews and basically wipe out Jews. If they had succeeded, if the Maccabees didn't win the war, there would have been no Jewish culture for Jesus to be born into. So that's part of that history. Part of what we celebrate this time of year is a military victory. This was a guerrilla war by a small group that, in a miraculous sense, stood up to fight against a much greater army, a huge empire, and managed, after a number of years, to succeed. One of the ways of understanding lighting one candle is that a lot of times when we, especially in this dark and kind of cold and scary and sluggish time of year, we can take one step to do something that we believe is really good, even if we don't know where the resources are going to come from to finish it. So lighting one candle, knowing that you're not sure if you got enough oil to last, is a kind of a Maccabean heroic step that many people often do. So one of the story we tell our kids that probably came up centuries after Hanukkah, after the Maccabees came, is about the fact that when it came time to dedicate the temple in Jerusalem, and the word Hanukkah means dedication, there was only enough oil for one day, just like you guys said, and miraculously it lasted 8 days. Well, that's a nice story to add on to it. Probably came up in Roman times when the Jewish leaders were trying really hard to avoid talking about their military heroes that won a revolt against the great empire. Because if you win a revolt, if you try to revolt against the Romans, you don't end up with a very good, very successful response. There was a Jewish group in the first century against the Romans. We call them Christians today. Their leader got crucified for it. So it may be that story came up later, but originally the dedication of the temple took place on a holiday called Sukkot, the fall harvest holiday. And that holiday lasted 8 days. So historically, that may be where the 8 days came from. The oil story is added later. And altogether, we end up with a wonderful winter holiday with lights and food and games and all the things the other winter holidays have that you've been talking about on the air.
Thank you so much. That was a great explanation and much better than the explanation that that we gave.
Yes, but he's a rabbi.
Yeah.
I mean, we would expect that from him. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And I want to invite other callers. Please call in and, give us a question. Give us a comment. 1-800-552-8502.
Let's go back to the idea of expectations. Do you, either of you have any comments about expectations and how they're helpful and how they may not be so helpful?
I think that if we maintain our flexibility that we already talked about, it's fine to set some expectations, maybe something that we want to strive for, but understand that maybe we can't go back in time and have a holiday just like we had when we were kids. And then maybe being willing to create our own new traditions and new things that we do, maybe as we become adults and have children of our own. And that's okay, that we don't have to do things the way they were always done.
Dr. Lobrano, you have any comment? Anything to add?
I was thinking that, you know, part of this show was how to enjoy the holidays rather than what we said, quote unquote, surviving the holidays. And part of that is accepting realistic expectations rather than being caught up in this kind of materialistic run around the holidays that kind of starts before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses and buying the latest toy for little Johnny or little Susie, relax and enjoy your company. Enjoy what you have around the holidays rather than what you believe that you need. And that's kind of goes into the idea that Ms. Harris was talking about, setting these expectations, but yet being flexible enough to be able to pursue some of those wants and desires that you have and accepting new things to come into your old tradition.
All right, Dr. Lobrano, I was thinking when you were talking, the question that you hear this time of year is, are you ready? Have you finished your shopping? Are you ready as if it is a military onslaught that we're expecting? And then I'll be so glad when this is over. Mm-hmm. And we miss all of the joy of this time of year. So if we can move into a different type of mindset, that would be great.
Yeah, I like to slow down, simplify, and stay put. Even if I'm traveling somewhere, when I get where I'm wanting to go, I want to stay put. So my three S's from Dr. Sewell, who was on our program a month or two ago, slow down, stay put, and simplify. So it's kind of a pulling back and relaxing and enjoying the relationships that we have with our families and our friends. Time to visit in depth and enjoy that. Very good. Thank you very much. Todd, you mentioned earlier, I think one of the ideas that you had, but I wanted to ask that kind of tags on to that is the issue of a lot of people kind of have a holiday depression or a kind of a letdown, especially, you know, like after December 25, there's sort of a letdown on the 26th and the 27th. So there's anticipation and there's building up. But then there's, well, what now after the celebration? And do you have any thoughts on that issue?
Well, around this time of year, you know, which kind of ties into the idea of expectations, what happens when you don't meet those expectations?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if your traditions aren't what you expected them to be? You know, I remember growing up having, you know, lots of things in my family, big family get together. And what if that doesn't occur this year? Many people experience things like that. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's conflict within the family and people aren't getting together like they did once before. Maybe it's I didn't get the new toy for my son or daughter. And, man, I don't want to see the look on their face when they get up in the morning and realize that, you know, man, I just did not take care of what I was supposed to take care of. So there's a lot of emotional problems that can result from that.
Some people may not be financially able to do everything they wanted to do for their children.
Absolutely. And so,
or even may overextend themselves and then you know, worry from that because they do try to do too much.
Overspending?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is, you know, results in some sadness, some depression. I don't know if this I would classify or characterize this even as chronic depression, but it happens pretty consistently around this time of year.
You know, and then some people, you know, some folks, you know, have had traumatic experiences in their childhood, and so the holidays were tough back then for them.
Absolutely.
And as they approach now, they sort of relive, even at an unconscious level or a subliminal level, kind of the disappointments of times past.
Sure. And so, you know, part of healing and getting through this is realizing this and coming to terms with that and moving past that. But there's also an abundance of support if people just look, you know, and their loved ones can provide the support for them. Now, I would not, you know, advise them to say, it's okay, you'll just get over it, because that's kind of trivializing someone's pain and hurt at this time of year, you know. They can say or advise someone that they can speak with a spiritual person or a rabbi maybe or a pastor or even a friend that they can, you know, kind of get this stuff off their chest. But I would advise if someone came to them with these kind of circumstances that just listen, you don't have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just looking for someone who will be an ear for them.
Laura, you looked at me like you wanted to get in on this.
We talked about having a recent loss of a loved one, but something that I hear a lot about or hear from people that's causing a problem is having gone through a divorce, and then that first holiday, that first Christmas or first celebration following the divorce, or maybe not even the first one, but all of the holidays after that, there's a letdown. People are having to deal with the splitting up of extended family, the sharing time with children, and just really don't know what to do or how to handle that always.
Now, you don't have to be a rabbi to call in this afternoon or this evening, or you don't have to be an expert in biblical theology or the culture at the time of Christ, but we ask our callers to, our listeners to call 1-800-552-8502. Call and become part of our conversation.
You know, there are a couple of interesting things that kind of relate to what y'all were speaking about that I discovered as I was researching for this show. You know, during the holidays, the amount of people seeking help from mental health professionals actually increases about 15%. So that just speaks to the stress of the holidays and the difficulties that people experience during the holiday season. And then also, interestingly, you would think that suicide rates would increase during Christmas over, you know, during December. However, they actually decrease. So that was a little surprising to me. I would think that those suicide rates would increase, but they don't. What happens, however, is that there is an increase in January, a significant increase, about a 40% increase in January in suicide rates. So I was looking at that, trying to kind of figure out, what is up with that? And a lot of the researchers pointed to people maybe overextending themselves financially, couples waiting until after the holidays to divorce or break up. And then also just kind of that after holiday letdown. You know, you may have a lot of friends and family around, and then maybe you're alone again. And so it was a little surprising to me to see those suicide rates. And then also interestingly, anxiety seems to be something that people also experience a lot during the holidays. And I saw that ER visits for panic attacks increase significantly during the month of
December.
Have
you been on Uri Drive lately?
I was in Walmart not too long ago. It was traumatic.
What about the issue, you know, Shelley, I think we should tell our listeners next month, and I think it's January 29th, we're going to have our mental health program is going to focus on body image.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some plastic surgeons coming in to talk about body image.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have met with them, and they're very interesting. Dr. Holly Wall and Dr. Simeon Wall Sr. Mm-hmm. are going to be with us as our guests. And their ideas about body image were so different than anything I've thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that you brought up during our meeting with them was this idea of Facebook
mm-hmm.
and people comparing themselves on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of comparison with other people that people do during the holiday season that leads them to feel less about themselves?
Well, and, you know, Facebook, I would assume that this would happen on Facebook also, but I've had a lot of people who have come to me and said, well, did you read so-and-so's, you know, Christmas, their yearly letter, you know, the letters that people will send out of these are the things that happened in my family. And it seems like everybody else's family, everything's great. People are graduating from college and people are going on trips and, you know, everything's just fantastic. And here I am, I'm getting a divorce. I'm about to file for bankruptcy. And, you know, what I often tell people is that we don't go to cocktail parties. We don't go on Facebook and say, my life is horrible. You know, for the most part, we present the good stuff. So even though it may appear that everyone around us is having a great time and we're not, it's often because they're just not sharing that with us.
But in media today, you know, as you watch television and so on, you see all kinds of ads and people having a good time, people buying things. There are Christmas specials that are going mm-hmm. on. And so it would be easy for an individual
sure.
or a small group of people to really feel like, well, gosh, our life isn't too good compared to all that we're seeing.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when one starts comparing what's going on in my life with what the media is presenting us, it's easy to feel negatively about oneself and not
I think that that's the great thing about being a mental health professional, is because we get a very accurate perspective about what's really going on in the world. We see the good and the bad. We see the negative and the positive. And so we know what's really going on. I think a lot of people don't have that. They're not able to gain that perspective because they're just, people are just sharing with them the good stuff, the positive stuff, and not the negative things that are going on.
Why don't you tell tell our listeners right now what the research was about the internet or the Facebook. You just mentioned that.
Well, there was one particular study that was talking about people, kind of how they feel about themselves, their self-esteem, and actually looking at Facebook just for a few minutes, people would, the researchers would administer a measure of self-esteem and then have the people look at Facebook for a little while and then administer another measure of self-esteem. And the self-esteem of these participants would decrease significantly just by looking at Facebook, just by looking at what other people were doing and buying and what was happening in other people's lives, that they were thinking, why aren't these happening in my life? Why isn't this going on for me? So really a lot of negative feelings coming from just viewing Facebook.
Is there a difference between men and women?
It does seem to affect women a little more. You do see it in men. However, it does seem to impact women a little more negatively.
Do you guys have any thoughts about this comparison of oneself with other people?
I can relate to that. You know, you look at Facebook and you see your cousin on the latest cruise and the pictures of them having a great time. And, you know, I'm slaving away in school and working and taking care of a little one. So I think that we do see just the best most of the time on Facebook. And we get to select the pictures before they're posted. And so that's a great thing to remember. When I'm logging in, to remember that I'm just seeing the good and that I too could take those pictures and post just the happy times and give that same, impression.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. You know, when we get these holiday cards with everybody around the tree, so happy and everything, just to remind ourselves that that's just a snapshot.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I really enjoy getting some of those cards, mm-hmm. though, because it... a lot of them today show the pictures of friends of mine and mm-hmm. so on that I may not have seen. And it's really nice to kind of remind me of them and who they are mm-hmm. and the fact that they do have good fortune in their lives. And it helps me revalue them, mm-hmm. you know, and keep them in my mind mm-hmm. and as they're present in my life. Again, I call on you, our listeners, please give us a call, contribute to this. Again, you don't need to be a rabbi. Please call 1-800-552-8502 and join our conversation. Add to it, subtract from it.
I'd like to go back to something that we were discussing a little bit earlier. We talked a little bit about depression and how depression can occur around the holidays, and then also the suicide rate that increases in January. Do y'all have any thoughts about how to counteract some of that depression? What might someone look for, or what might someone do if they have a loved one around January that they're concerned about?
I would say you need to look out for a family member or a friend that may start isolating themselves. They don't appear to be very happy, you know, down, maybe even a little irritable, snap at, you know, even the smallest inkling. So those kind of things, you know, just your typical, what you would understand as somebody being depressed.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I do is after a holiday is I sort of plan several kind of small little gatherings with friends, post-Christmas, post-New Year's gatherings. And I enjoy small groups of people where, you know, two or three or six of us, where you can really have good conversations. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to be fancy celebrations at all. Just the chance to get together and really make contact with people after the holidays. Because I think there's this anticipation toward the holidays. And then there's the letdown afterwards. And I think you have to be aware of that anticipation moving upward and then kind of the slope afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so I think planning some things that are really enjoyable after mm-hmm. the holidays is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also wondering, I have people do this that I see in sessions, and I'm wondering if other people may do this. We can often magnify the one negative event, or when we see those pictures or how other people are doing and think how poorly we're doing. But usually when we sit down and write a gratitude list, I've heard people call them gratitude lists, things that we do have in our life, they're a lot longer than we expect. And it tends to help us overcome that those thoughts that really aren't rational or logic, that things are just awful, or maybe to the point that we would consider suicide as an alternative.
The gratitude list, I like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I often have clients journal positive things instead of focusing on mm-hmm. negative things, so that they can kind of, I guess, flip the script, so to speak, where they're, mm-hmm. you know, reorienting how they're thinking.
Well, and often when we're depressed, we do kind of get into that negative thought rut. And we just, it's really difficult to focus on the positive. So if you can have somebody to remind you, you know, mm-hmm. to focus on the positive, that often helps.
Now, both of you have children, isn't that true?
Yes.
Let's talk about children and the Christmas holidays. What are your thoughts about how do we as a community, as parents, as people that used to be parents and have older adult children now, but how do we really enhance the Christmas holidays for young children? What are your thoughts about that?
Something that I've done, just a tradition that I've started with my own daughter, is doing Advent candles, which are representative of in the Christian holiday, the Christian tradition of Christmas, the preparation for the coming of Christ. So we will light those together. We print something maybe from the internet or some material to explain on a 9-year-old level what was happening during that time. You know, Mary coming into with Joseph pregnant on the donkey, coming in to have the baby Jesus, and therefore candles. So leading up to that fourth candle and the celebration of the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Todd, do you?
You know, I think that's a wonderful idea, establishing new traditions for kids. But I believe, and I think most of us were children at one time. Mm-hmm. I know I was young at
long
one time.
Long time ago.
and, of course, depending upon the age of the child, because, you know, some children get old enough where it's not cool to be hanging out with their parents anymore. But, you know, with the younger children, it's easy to establish these traditions. Maybe it's reading a story. Maybe it's playing with the elf on the shelf mm-hmm. nowadays, mm-hmm. which is so much fun for many of the adults, too.
Yeah, the kids that I see, they all talk about the elf on the shelf, and they really like that.
And I'm wondering what kind of ideas some callers out there may mm-hmm, have mm-hmm. about this establishing traditions. It's really establishing a good relationship with your children. It's forming bonds. And that's what, you know, they're not going to remember what toy they got 5 years ago, but they'll remember the time they spent with mom and dad.
Right. That's right.
Again, Shelley, we have another caller coming.
Yes, we do. We have Peter. Go right ahead, Peter.
I have more of a comment. I think part of the problem of the holidays is the high expectations, mm-hmm. just in the same way that in a birthday, like, suddenly things are supposed to change. Mm-hmm. And you've touched on it, but you need to, during this time, enjoy the sunsets and the friends every day and not set the one particular day as a make or break kind of thing. So that's the way I get through the holidays.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that enhances your enjoyment of them, does it not?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the gratitude list, that's one thing. But, just being able to know that there's going to be a tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess we did hear from the rabbi, and I want to put in a plug for the Catholic bishop. We used to have a Catholic bishop here by the name of Bishop Friend, and I had the privilege of visiting with him one day when he was leaving, you know, getting ready to retire, and I said, well, Bishop, you know, you've been a businessman, and you almost got married, you decided to become a priest, you've been a priest, now you're a bishop, you know, what's the bottom line? I asked him, you know, I said, Bishop, you know, here you are, 78 or 79 years old, you've been doing this all your life. What's the bottom line? And he said two words. He said, appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
very appropriate.
I thought that was good learning. You know, he didn't give me a theological lecture. And so I thought that was really an excellent. One of the enjoyable things, I think, from a Christian point of view is to reread the Gospels of Mark and, not Mark, because Mark doesn't have it, but Matthew and Luke and their accounts of the birth of Jesus. You know, of course, they weren't there when Jesus was born, because they didn't know anything about him at that point. They knew about him later on. And so those accounts are so wondrous and so well written, and they're written retrospectively about this amazing person that was born on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
Well, I think it's, you know, Peter bringing up the fact that, you know, appreciating every day some of the things that, Laura was saying earlier, you know, not judging, not micromanaging, those types of things are important throughout the year. They're really good things to live by throughout the year.
You know, we were talking earlier about do's and don'ts. Do you want to talk a little bit about alcohol?
Sure. I think that's something that's important to consider. Sometimes during the holidays, I think we give ourselves this permission to indulge not only in alcohol but other things, with the thought that maybe in January we have that, we'll have a new standard and we'll start over. But it's important to watch our alcohol intake, because while we're stressed and a few drinks may make you feel better temporarily, it often ends up making you feel worse. And there are some other secondary things that people may not even consider. One thing that I was reading is the rate of fatal alcohol poisoning increases significantly in December and then peaks during the last 2 weeks of December. So people overdoing it with alcohol to the point that they actually have alcohol poisoning during this month.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Say that again.
The rate of fatal, meaning that having alcohol poisoning to the level that people die from it, increases in the month of December significantly, and then it will peak in the last 2 weeks around Christmas and right around New Year's.
Gosh, I didn't know that. Did you know that, everyone?
I didn't know that either. Of course, lots of people are familiar with the old spiked eggnog, and around New Year's, everybody likes to go out and have a good time. Mm-hmm. But I did not realize that it spiked before Christmas.
Well, and I think some of the research I read said that there are a lot of people who are drinking around the holidays that aren't used to drinking, and so they may not monitor. You know, they may drink more than they realize, and they're not maybe not very good at pacing themselves or things like that. We have a question that's actually very interesting. I'd like to hear y'all's opinions on this. What can deployed military overseas do to handle being away from family members without experiencing depression? So what advice do you have for our military folks?
Wow, that's a very, very good question. Yeah. You know, back in the days when we didn't really have access to the computers that we do now, you were really struggling for letters and constant contact, you know, and those are still valuable tools right now. Keep writing. Care packages are very good, you know, keeps the soldiers and other military personnel feeling like they're, you know, remembered. But Skype is a very good, you know, way to access family members. And just to remember that your family members are there and supportive, you know, not just family members, but, you know, other people, maybe church communities can, you know, reach out to overseas military personnel that are, well, I guess there's still some in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, you know, just make sure that they're in your thoughts and they and the soldiers, the military personnel, understand that they're, you know, not forgotten for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we have military people also in South Korea, for example, and certainly in, sure. in Germany, and then many are deployed at different bases around the country, around the world. Some are on ships and yes. submarines all over the world. So there's a lot of our military people that are out there serving us, and we should really appreciate them and the families. And think about the families of military people mm-hmm. that are going to be celebrating Christmas without those military folks mm-hmm. that are on ships and submarines and bases and so on. Mm-hmm. That's an important if you've not served in the military, it's maybe hard to really understand all of that. Now, you have served in the military.
I have, but, you know, I didn't, you know, not over holidays or anything like that. But, I mean, you know, just considering children of families, I think it's very important for, you know, the contact to be both ways. That, like, you know, we said, the computers and the internet and things like that really facilitate better communication than when I was in, you know, doing this kind of thing. But just maintain those lines of communication.
Stay connected.
You know, you have phones. I don't know that, you know, I think satellite phones are kind of expensive now, but, you know, there are avenues of communication. I think the military even offers computer technology to, you know, that's its military members and offers limited access through their, you know, those services.
Again, let me ask our listeners to call in with your ideas, questions, comments about this. 1-800-552-8502. You don't need to have your name as Rabbi Harley or Peter to call in. You can call in with your own name. Please feel free to join our conversation. Todd, I wanted to ask you another little question about people who have lost loved ones, you know, husbands, wives, worse yet, a child, you know, and this being the first time or the first Christmas holiday without that person nearby. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a very difficult time. And, you know, considering the importance that people place on these holidays, you know, we talked about earlier about maintaining a positive attitude and outlook for every day, not just the holidays, but most people place an importance on these holidays that's higher than every other day. And if you should have lost a loved one during this time, it's especially, you know, depressing or saddening for these people to go through this holiday without that one. Now, some of the statistics say that 33% of people over 40 have lost a close friend or relative within the past year. So if this is the first year that you are celebrating these holidays, it may have a significant effect on you. And, you know, it's a good idea for other relatives or friends to be sensitive to that and kind of keep an eye on them and make sure, you know, bring them into the fold if they're, you know, tending to kind of isolate themselves or withdraw. You know, go to them and tell them, look, you know, you're more than welcome. Why don't you come and do this? And don't take no for an answer. You know, and to maintain those traditions that you've had in the past, because we're pretty sure that the loved ones don't want you not to enjoy yourself.
You know, one of the things that I've done in the past is and the media, and they will present probably between Christmas and New Year's, NBC or CBS or whoever the stations happen to be, CNN, they will have a program or two or repeat it about people, famous people that we've lost during this previous year. And they'll show the pictures of those people or they'll talk about those people. And I enjoy watching that, those types of programs, because it reminds me about how these people, famous people, have really influenced and contributed to our lives as Americans.
Absolutely.
And I think it might be a good idea to, if we've lost somebody that we know personally who has not been a famous person, like all of the four of us, is to sort of look at how that person really contributed to my life or our lives. Mm-hmm. And all the things that the benefits that I have accrued from having known them and all the good things they did for me. Mm-hmm. And so I see it as a time to reflect on, to take that loss and reflect on how that person has really contributed to my life.
So reflecting on the gain, not the loss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
gift that yeah. they've been to your mm-hmm. life or to the world, kind mm-hmm. of a memorial for them instead of making it a sad time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody in our lives is really a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all there as gifts. We don't own them. We just have them temporarily. And it's really fun to see and appreciate other people and who they are and how they contribute to our lives, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Please join us, 1-800-552-8502. This is Mental Health Matters on Red River Radio, and we'd like to have your participation. You're giving me the evil eye. You want to break in and say something?
Well, you know, Todd's suggestion about bringing people into the fold just made me think about the importance of being mindful of those around us. We, like Dr. Vegan said, we have military people who may be stationed far away from home, not have the means to go home for Christmas, students who are in college who can't travel a long distance home, who might not have anyone, and just paying attention to that. I see that being done with my fellow students at Louisiana Tech. They extend the invitation, and one person will take turns, and they'll open up their home and gather together, not just for Christmas, but you know, other holidays, and just kind of getting together to keep that social support and you know, the spirits up and good mental health in general.
Did you want to add, Todd?
I was just going to say sure that that's, you know, something that I have actually done in the past, to welcome someone in my home that has been, you know, that is away from their family. And I think that's very much like what military families experience. You know, if someone is overseas, maybe it's a good opportunity for military personnel that are stationed there to get together and celebrate this holiday, you know, just to kind of highlight the things that they have.
You know, before we leave this topic, I do want to go on to the next topic of, you know, because we won't have a chance to be on this program before the new year begins. This is it. And so I want to eventually talk about goal setting and, you know, New Year's resolutions and how to be successful with those from a psychological point of view. But I just want to, you know, think about the issue of balancing the whatever one's spiritual or religious beliefs are with materialism and those kinds of things, thinking about this really is a spiritual holiday, especially for the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. I don't know enough about the other faiths like Islam and so on, but I'm not sure they have they do have a holiday.
They do. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Oh, you shouldn't have asked me that.
It's hard to be narcissistic when there's so many things we don't know. But there is a, you're sure of that?
Yeah, actually, I look to see what different religions celebrate holidays, during the December, month of December. And actually, pagans, Buddhists, Muslims, and several other religions, I saw.
Do have some celebration, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's ask this question. New Year's resolutions, your thoughts?
Set something achievable, and don't set too many of them, but make sure that it's something that you can make. Don't set that bar too high or you'll be disappointed.
I think also with setting that resolution, whether it's at New Year's or any time when we are ready to make a change, we need to have a plan. And like Todd said, make that achievable. You know, if I say I want to lose 50 pounds, how will I do that? And maybe talking to someone, a nutritionist or someone in the exercise, a trainer or something like that, to help us to set reasonable goals.
Okay. Have either of you practiced what you were just now preaching?
Nope, never.
I'm getting better at that. Actually, I am, and I have. I do these arm stretch things for my back that I learned from my physical therapist, and I have an iPhone, and I have an alarm in my planner, and it goes off almost on the hour daily, and reminds me to just kind of stretch my shoulders back and relax that, and it's just it's a good thing for my body.
Now, was this a New Year's resolution you were doing, Laura?
No, this was just something that I've done probably in the last 6 months.
Okay, and so starting in January, do you have a New Year's resolution that in mind, or are you thinking about something?
I will stop eating all the Christmas treats that I've been making.
You will stop eating Christmas treats?
Well, that's because they get stale.
Todd, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I do, and I want, you know, probably pretty common. I would like to lose weight and get back into shape, and I have, you know, vow that I will stop making the excuse that I just don't have time to do that. when in reality I have not made time to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. Now, one part of goal setting is to understand what steps you have to take to get to that goal mm-hmm. and do those steps. You know, like if I'm going to lose weight, it means I need to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym. It means I need to start eating better. So within those things, you have to recognize the little steps to get there.
Well, and sometimes I'll even advise people to just try to work things into their everyday life. If you are going to the grocery store, kind of park away from the store so you're walking farther.
Yeah.
You know, get a cart from as far away as possible and then return it as far away as possible. So just, you know, not expecting to be able to fit an hour every single day of exercise into sure. your day. But starting small, taking little bites, little chunks, and then yeah. kind of working your way up to your ultimate goal.
Very good. Do we have a call?
We certainly do. We have Sam from Houston. Go ahead, Sam.
Hi. Y'all were talking about stress earlier and how that can affect people during the holidays. I'm a college student. I'm actually driving to Houston right now for the holidays. And I just kind of wanted to give my 2 cents about how us, you know, early 20-somethings kind of view the holidays and all that stress around it. So we've just gone through finals week. We've been studying the past 2-3 weeks. I know myself and all my friends at school have just been overloading ourselves and trying to learn all this material really fast so we can ace those tests and get great grades. And we kind of see the holidays as kind of the finish line. Now that we're done with it, we can go home and relax and kind of forget about all that ridiculousness we put ourselves through. And it really tends to kind of all come crumbling down once somebody throws a wrench in our plans to just relax, hang out with family, and do nothing for a month, you know, sit on the couch and watch TV. So as soon as a family member starts having tension within the family, or if somebody wants us to do something we don't really want to do, which kind of gives us flashbacks almost to all that stress we're going through. And it's not fun, but it's kind of part of life. So I don't know. There's not really a question here, but I just kind of wanted to say, like, to us, we really see the holidays as something that we want to have be super relaxing and awesome. And when that doesn't happen, it really kind of messes with us on an even greater level because we've been in this stressful mood for the past month or so.
So you're using the holidays to pull back, relax, enjoy, and do less, not do more.
Right, exactly.
Good advice. My advice to our listeners regarding New Year's resolutions, however, is to listen to Mental Health Editions on Red River Radio. That's what I would suggest to everybody. What do you think, Shelley?
Yes, I think that's a very good idea.
Okay. Again, if you have any other comments, 1-800-552-8502. We certainly thank you, Sam, a college student. Boy, those were nice. Those were wonderful days being in college, the dreams and all. Any other thoughts on New Year's resolutions and enjoying the holidays?
I was wondering about people who have the tradition of doing volunteer work, who in lieu of going and having a big family meal may go and serve. If we have any callers who are doing that in our local area or the extended listening area.
Well, service to other people is always incredibly reinforcing. Anytime we can step out of ourselves and look and help and do something for someone else, there's never a downside to that I can think of. Do you see any problem with that?
No, not at all. I would say that look for opportunities to be able to do things like that. And, you know, it will give you an opportunity to understand that there are always people out there that are less fortunate and need our assistance.
Right. Service is just such an excellent mental health tool because it takes us away from being self-absorbed and overly self-focused. You know, when we start to really care for other people, it's just such a therapeutic tool to do that.
Definitely.
Shelley, did you have any other ideas about New Year's resolutions?
Well, like I said, usually what I see with people is that they just take on way too much. They just way overextend themselves. Their expectations of themselves are just way too much. So, as I said before, generally I advise people to, you know, whatever your end goal is, back it way up and really start with very small, simple steps and really make a very detailed plan as to how you're going to get to your ultimate goal, not just expecting to get there in a week or a month or even a couple of months. You know, this may be a goal that takes a year or 2 years. It may be a repeating New Year's resolution. And so that's when I see people being more successful, is when they are able, like I said, to kind of take those little chunks out of their resolutions rather than just taking it all on at one time.
Well, what we know is that behavior changes slowly.
Yes.
Growth comes slowly. It doesn't come in big gulps and bites. It comes very slowly and incrementally.
Yeah. And any change, any forward movement, that's improvement. And so what I also see a lot of times is people saying, oh, well, I haven't worked out in a month. And so, I've just failed. Well, so you worked out for a month and then you didn't. Well, then start back. So, you know, you still did it for a month, which is 1 month more than you did before. So that's a success. That's forward movement.
That's true. Any other thoughts, again, on enjoying Christmas? Like, what are you guys going to do to enhance your lives during Christmas and the lives of your children?
Well, we do have an elf on the shelf. We have an elf named Charlie, and she actually sent tickets to go ride the Rail of Lights for my daughter and I. So tomorrow night, we are going to Texas to ride the Rail of Lights and just to spend that time together, enjoying, as the previous caller said, enjoy the sunset, enjoy what's going on in the moment, and we'll be doing that on a train looking at the Christmas lights.
Todd?
Yeah, we're probably going to ride around town and look at all the lights from the houses around. We'll sit down and read some stories that we generally read during the year and speak with family and spend time with family and just slow down and enjoy
slow
each
down,
other's company.
Stay put and be simple.
And keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Shelley, what are your thoughts about yourself?
I'm going to eat a lot of really good food.
Shelley, you are thin.
You're not supposed to say that.
No.
You are thin.
I'm just being honest.
That's what you do all year long, though.
You have a metabolism of a bird.
You know, one other thing we were talking about, Todd, I think you mentioned people being scattered and farther out. So, we will be having multiple days that we celebrate and meeting with family and thinking that's okay to do, to have a Christmas on Friday, and I'll be doing a Christmas with my family from Ruston, and then I'll go to Alabama, and that's okay. It doesn't all have to be at one time.
Sounds like you have a lot.
I do.
I want to thank you both for being here with us tonight, Dr. Todd Lebrano and you, Miss Laura Harris. Thank you both for being here. I want to thank Rabbi Harley, Peter and Sam for calling in. We look forward to talking with you next month on Mental Health Matters.
Mental Health Matters is a program for informational purposes only. For all mental health questions, you should consult a mental health professional or physician. This show is available for download, or you may listen to a podcast of this program on our website, redriverradio.org. Mental Health Matters is a production of Red River Radio. The producer is Renee Moran, with production assistance provided this evening by Wally Derleth. Support for this program comes from the Noel Foundation and also from the Community Foundation of North Louisiana. I'm Shelley Visconti, along with Dr. Mark Fegan. Thank you for listening, and good night.